9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. We are streaming live on Facebook, on the KECO Facebook page. We are also streaming live on KECOFM.com, and you can also pick us up on our free Paragon Communications app on your phone. Download it anytime. If you're out of the listening area, you can still hear my gorgeous, sexy voice, especially when I don't take an allergy pill. Anyway, also we are live right here on 96.5 KECO, also on 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward. Today is Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic Happy Cap Hour, all hour. I also have Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech in the studio with me today. We've got a couple subjects we're going to talk about today. It will be pretty interesting. Currently, it looks like Buffalo and Freedom, you're the hot spots in the whole state. 79 degrees. Hollis, you're at 73. Mangum, 73. Hobart, capital of Kiowa County, 72 degrees. Here at Elk City on the Gabe Gadget, we are 70.7 degrees, and also we're 72 degrees out in Shamrock, Texas. Well, first of all, let me get back where I was. Where's it at? This is from Dr. Peel in Oklahoma State University. The drought situation in Oklahoma is increasingly critically with winter approaching, according to the Drought Monitor. 99.97% of the state is in some stage of the drought, D0 to D4, with 75% of it in a D3 or D4, which is the worst. Drought conditions in the Drought Monitor are summarized in the Drought Severity and Coverage Index, which can range from 0 to 500. The Oklahoma DSCI was at 93 in mid-June and has advanced to 393 as of today, currently the worst of any state in the nation. DSCI has not been this high in Oklahoma since February of 2013, according to the Oklahoma Mesonet System. The last 120 days are the driest for the period in record since 1921. The water situation may soon be the most critical, even more than forage, for many producers. Water quality and quantity is low and decreasingly rapidly. Oklahoma relies heavily on the surface water ponds, which are filled by spring and summer thunderstorms. Ponds rarely get replenished in the winter, even in a normal year. The impacts of the drought are very evident in cattle auction volumes. Since July 1st, the volume of feeder cattle in Oklahoma auctions has been 19% higher year over year, with the volume the last 2 weeks up 28% over the last year. The volume of cull cows has been up 112% year over year since July and is up 150% the last 2 weeks. Persistent drought conditions are continuing to force producers to market feeder cattle early and cull additional cows. Well, in the studio with me right now is Mr. Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech, and I think the drought is on our monitor, isn't it?
It is, and we got a little rain around, but nowhere close to enough.
No, no.
So let's start where we always start.
Okay.
The five pillars of soil health. We'll go through them quickly and then on to what the topic for the day is.
Okay.
First pillar for the southern plains any year, but especially this year, is armor on the ground. Keep it covered up. Just remember, Mother Nature's a prude. If you don't keep her covered up, she's going to cover herself up with something you probably don't like. Second one is low disturbance, and that means to do as little of tillage as possible. The next one is diversity, multi-species crop. different root systems, different foliage above the ground to help keep the soil cooled off. Fourth is living root in the soil as many days out of the year as possible. You know, you got to keep the underground herd going with whatever you can. And then the five, where it fits, is livestock, where it does fit. I wanted to talk today about drought effects on summer crops, and to finish up with harvest and fall planting crops. So let's start with the summer crops that we're in the process of finishing right now. So dry land cotton, if you're going to put on harvest dates, now's when you're going to do it. We've had several nights now below 60. So wherever your cotton, wherever it has progressed up to now, is as far as it's going to go. It's not going to restart after that plant cools off below 60 and stays there for several hours. So you're not going to move forward with developing any more bulbs. So really and truly, your cotton needs to, dry land cotton, needs to make at least a bale per acre to make harvest age worthwhile. If it's good enough to do that, then it's probably time to go ahead and get some Ethafon and Folex or one of the other harvest aids on to get the leaves worked off and the bowls opened. Be aware that this year, because of the excessive heat we had, a lot of days, a lot of hours above 100 degrees, cotton development stops whenever that cotton plant gets to 100. So think about every bowl having a little man inside applying wallpaper around that bowl and going in a circle. That's how that cotton's developing in there. And when it gets to 100 degrees, he stops.
He's hot.
Stops. He's hot. He stops. So then whenever it cools down below 100 degrees, he starts again. Everywhere you have a start and a stop, there is a dent in that lint, and they're going to ding you for that. And there's nothing you can do about it, but that's going to happen. So I'm not going to say that there's going to be lots of bad grades out there, but there's going to be less than perfect grades out there by quite a ways. So keep that in mind as you're deciding whether you're going to do harvest age or not. It may not be worth it. It may be just let nature take its course, let a freeze take it out, let the wind exercise the bowls, the leaves off for you, and take whatever you got left. As far as dry land corn, it got wiped out
early
3 months ago.
Yep.
It either got baled up, plowed under, or silaged if they could catch it in time. Peanuts, some areas are going to need to water before they can dig, but when it's time to go with that, it's time to go with that.
Right, and that's what they're in the process of doing right now.
Yeah.
Some guys got lucky and got a half inch to three quarters this weekend, so they can go forward with that. I don't know about the western half of Beckham County over there. I don't know how much rain they got.
I don't think much. Over around Eric, they got almost an inch.
Okay, so they're probably all right.
Yeah.
So it saved them a little money watering.
Yeah, and peanut crop probably, with the summer we have, when you consider that, is probably pretty decent.
Right.
So I don't know how they're contracted on price, but it may be worth, if you have a pivot, it may be worth it to run it around, put a half inch on, and start the digger a few days later.
Right.
It might be.
Yep.
I just don't know.
I'll tell you in a few days.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm sure down in around the Willow area and down in there, I'm sure they're getting cranked and ready to go.
Yep.
Pretty quick. But back to the cotton. Just before you do what the calendar says it's time to do, go through there and make a bowl count and see what you really and truly have, not what you hope you have or think you have.
Right.
See what you have and then make a decision as to whether it's worthwhile to.
Well, I've noticed in the last month that a lot of cotton crops have been destroyed.
Yes.
Because they figured out it ain't happening.
Yeah, I think a lot of cotton got harvested this year with a batwing shredder.
Yeah.
You know, or a disc or something. And that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah. And then there's areas you see cotton, it looks pretty decent.
It looks decent. There's some areas in first and second bottoms that look pretty good.
Right.
For the year. I mean, when you consider everything. But I think you're still, even with that, I think it's cotton is probably still going to struggle to break even this year.
All right. Well, let's take a break, but before we go, Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma in the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main Street right here in Elk City. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features pull-through unloading, a brand new hydraulic tilt chute on site for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccinations, boarding with indoor-outdoor runs. Full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital x-ray. Also scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency service for all species. Call 580-225-0200 or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care. And it shows. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 7th. 2,772 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 298 brought 164. 15 at 437 brought 160. 10 at 482 brought 170. 7 at 583 brought 164. 9 at 611 brought 160. 50. 12 at 725 brought 154.50. 23 at 777 brought 148.50. 10 head of heifers at 322 brought 150. 7 at 457 brought 157. 47, 15 at 490, brought 148, 4 at 538, brought 146, 7 at 575, brought 145, 15 at 602, brought 146.50, 18 at 695, brought 126, butcher cows were 2 to 88, butcher bulls brought 25 to 99, bred cows were 700 to 1325, pairs brought 1200 to 1650. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sales every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Myself, I'm fourth generation customer there at First National Bank. You get a lot of loyal customers there at First National because we don't change a lot. This is who we are. You can come in and talk to us if you have a difficult situation, and we're going to do what we can to get you through it. And right now in this economy, that's a big plus to have in a bank, somebody that will roll with you, because right now you're rolling with the punches. Everybody is. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Yeehaw. All right. Currently at the Gabe Gadsden Mezzanine Center here located in our studio in Elk City, 71.4 degrees. Humidity is 67. The winds here at Elk City is 92, but I'm going to say, what's the winds at our Mezzanine Center out here? Is that Mezzanine Center out there by the Shell plant?
Or, I think so.
Yeah, it's out there. 21 miles an hour out of the south-southwest with gusts up to 27. And don't plan on it dying down this evening when you get home. It's going to get higher tonight from what I heard. And Mr. Kent Watkins is in the studio with me from SEI Agritech right here in Elk City, Oklahoma. And before the break, we were talking about the five pillars of soil, and we were talking about cotton, what to look for, what's going on with these summer crops with drought. And let's continue that conversation, sir.
Okay, well, let's move into planting fall crops in a drought. So if you're still tilling, I realize you have to start at some point, but with this no rain deal continuing to hang on, delay that as much as you possibly can. Because it's not that the wind is blowing, it's what the wind is blowing, and you don't want it to be your land blowing
right
away. We don't have an opportunity now for early pasture, so really and truly, there's no hurry at this point. We're not going to get early pasture, so there's no reason to bit in a twist about planting wheat or rye or triticale or whatever you happen to be planting. That ship has sailed, so let's take a breath and let's realize that is over. And now you're going to plant whatever you're going to plant for some grazing, a little bit of grazing through the winter, and then capitalize on whatever grazing you have in the spring. And we have to assume that we're going to get some precipitation through the winter, whether it's snow or ice or rain or combination thereof, so that we can go forward in the spring. So remember to up your planting rate on your seed now that we're at the middle of October. Add another 10 pounds or so if you're going to graze something. And remember that if you have already planted, your crop is up, you've got a little rain in areas, be aware of the moth flights, because
they're here.
They can still wipe you out pretty quickly. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to be a crop scout anymore. The big heavy moth flights always happen on a full moon. So the full moon started on the 9th of October.
Yep.
So count down the calendar 10 to 14 days and then start looking for worms, because it'll take 10 to 14 days for them to lay their eggs and hatch and go through that cycle. I would recommend that because there's not a lot of green out there, even in pastures, those moths are going to look for that to lay their eggs on. You may get locked into a battle with the worms here in about 2 weeks.
especially at these temperatures.
Yes.
Because I just looked at the long ranger, and you're correct. I mean, our rain chances, we got what we got.
Yep.
It's gone. Now the next 15 days look dry, but the temperatures are going to be in the mid-70s to maybe low 80s, might get up to low 80s. That's just...
It's going to be perfect for emergence.
Yep.
For the worms. The grasshoppers have pretty much run their course, but the worms have not. So you can easily knock the worms out, and you can do it relatively inexpensively. I mean, a couple of dollars per acre for chemical, but you still have to go over it. And so that's an expense. I would tell you that you need to scout your fall planted crop that's up. You need to scout it every other day. 10 days from the 9th of October, scout every other day for 2 weeks past that. And if you start seeing damage, you need to address that.
Immediately,
because they're not going to let up. They'll just emerge and keep going. And they're not going to do it like a grasshopper. You know, grasshoppers, real non-territorial, they kind of go where the wind blows them. The worms are a lot more deliberate, and they will slick you off and kill your crop. And then the question is do you want to have to plant twice? The answer to that this year is no.
Nope.
Because you're going to have at least $80 an acre in it if you do that. So you can easily go over it for $2.50 an acre if you've got a sprayer yourself. If you do it commercially, I don't know what that costs, probably $6 or $7 now.
Yeah, somewhere between $6 and $8, but that's still cheaper than replanting.
Absolutely. But the downside to doing that is first the expense, but secondly, on that young seedlings, the tire tracks is going to track some of that out in a dry year.
Right.
And if you're in sandy ground and you plant it north to south, you're probably going to blow.
Right.
So there's pros and cons to all this, but and everybody knows this, but I'm just trying to remind people of the things to be looking for so they're not caught watching the paint dry when it's too late.
Well, if you're just joining me, I got Kent Watkins in here from SEI Agritech, and we are talking about what might happen.
So, what's likely going to happen?
Well, a guy called me the other day, and we was talking. He said somewhere up here in Roger Mills County, he said it looked like something just took a plow and went right across a wheat field at an angle, and he got out and looked, and it was army worms.
Mm-hmm. I had a customer call me on the last full moon, about 10 days after that, and he said there's little webs all over it. And I said, get the sprayer out. You've got army worms, and they're not going to let up, man. They're gonna clean you up if you don't knock them out. And he did, and his crop went on, and it was okay. And I told him earlier that if he planted the first day of September, and I said, you're probably going to lock yourself in a battle with the worms, and you'll have to spray once for sure and probably twice.
Twice, yep.
So, but he had to have the pasture, and that pushed him to go ahead and go with it, and it'll either work out or it won't.
Question for you, is there a chemical out there or something that you can add into your seed when planting to give a 30-45 day delay on the insects messing with you?
Is on it? Soil-borne insects, yes, it okay. would be a generic gaucho.
Okay.
But on the worms, no.
Okay.
And grasshoppers, no, you're not going to take care of them with the seed treatment.
Right.
It won't work.
It won't work.
You don't have enough chemistry there to make it work.
Gotcha. And especially with the way our weather's been.
Right. It's not going to happen.
Because my neighbor out there where I live, he'd worked that ground there by the house, and then he sowed, and there wasn't no moisture. Mm-hmm. And that rye's tough. That's
yes,
all I can tell you. It came up, and I was like, holy crap, guess what? We just got an inch of rain, and he looks like a rocket scientist.
Yeah. There's a few around that went ahead and planted and rolled the dice, and it looks pretty good right now. If they can get a little rain along, it'll be just fine for them.
Yep.
But that's the exception rather than the rule this year.
Right.
So.
Yeah, when I was working for K&D over at Foss back in the 80s, you know, we had so much wheat ground, we had to get started early no matter what. So we dusted in, started last week of August, and, you know, he rolled the dice every year, but he had to. We had 5,000 acres of wheat ground.
Right, and you didn't have nearly as big of equipment then as you do now.
No,
to be able to get over it.
We had 2 8,300 drills on one of those dual hitch white contraptions. That was us.
That was high tech back then.
It was. It was high tech just to get them unfolded.
That's right.
And so, yeah. But it was fun though.
Yeah. Well,
man has technology come a long ways.
It has really come a long ways.
If you're not sewing 30, 48 acres an hour now,
yeah,
you're behind.
You're behind, but you know, it's okay to be behind rather than pay for the equipment that does that.
Right.
In my opinion, unless you just got so many acres and labor is less than it used to be, so you just have to get started earlier.
Yeah, well, and you're well, if you've got 1,000+ acres or something like that, I'm sure that big equipment, unless you bought it at a bargain, it pays for itself
eventually. Yeah,
eventually. But if you got 250 acres out there and you go out there and spend $100,000 on a drill and $200,000 on a tractor and equipment,
that's really not going to work.
It won't work.
You'd be better off just to have your neighbor come do it for you.
Yep.
And pay them. You know, it'll work for them, it'll work for you.
Yep. Might not be the exact time you want.
That's all right.
But it'd be done.
Yeah, we're not trying to, you know, hit a home run here. We're just trying to live another day.
Well, Kent, let's take another break. And if you guys got any questions you want to ask Kent, you're not bashful. I'm not taking no calls, but if you'll text into the Today in Ag text line, 580-225-9697. If you got anything out there interesting happening in your field that you need some advice on or opinion or whatever, don't be bashful. When I come back, I'll have the Northwestern Oklahoma and Northeastern Texas Panhandle and the Oklahoma Panhandle forecast for you.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Riley Baca is an investment advisor representative of and advisory services offered through Royal Fund Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Have you been working at your job for 20 or maybe even 30 or more years? If you have, then you're probably tired of watching your 401k and any IRAs you have go down in value. Hello, I'm Riley Baca with Advanced Financial Strategies in Clinton. You've worked hard for your money, so why not protect a portion of it? The uncertainties brought on by inflation and the war in Ukraine could potentially keep the stock market volatility around for a while. With our retirement income plan, we can show you how to protect your hard-earned money. Investing for growth is only part of the picture. Our retirement GPS is an income plan you and your family can look at and reference in the future. It's hard to go to a place you've never been without your GPS, and retirement is no different. Call Brian or Briley Baca today at 323-6800 or visit our website, retirewithbaca.com, and schedule your complimentary visit and get your retirement GPS.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Kent, I had this thought during the commercial.
Okay.
You know Dr. Taylor Mouse?
Yep.
I was thinking about switching the name of it every Tuesday. Instead of the Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic Happy Hour, I was going to call it the Dr. Taylor Mouse Happy Hour. And then maybe some of the people she went to college with and actually went to happy hours up there at Stillwater, maybe they would go, man, she's successful. She's got her only happy hour going.
Well, there you go. That may be a way to go.
Yeah, it might be. Okay. For northwestern Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma Panhandle, your forecast goes as this. Today, breezy. 83 for high, gust as high as 35 miles an hour in northwestern Oklahoma. Tonight, 55 for low, same thing with the wind. And tomorrow, same thing with the wind. Looks like it'll die down sometime tomorrow evening. Tomorrow, Wednesday, 77, Thursday, 74, Friday, 80 degrees, and Saturday looks beautiful at 83 degrees. Well, Mr. Watkins, I got a couple text messages in.
Okay.
And first one that came in is, will sulfur help keep the worms down?
No, it doesn't. It will help on green bugs, especially in the fall, early fall, and also in the late spring. But it won't do anything for a worm. You have to understand that those moths that are laying their eggs, they see that field differently than we do. They see it through an infrared lens in their eye, and it's just a different view. But when they detect that monoculture green out there, that's where those eggs are going to get laid. They're not going to get laid in the bar ditch where it's dried up already.
Like grasshoppers.
Grasshopper.
Yeah,
exactly
they don't
right.
care. They don't care. They don't care if they're in the hood or if they're in the rich neighborhood. They're going to lay it anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
So sulfur won't help. I mean, it'll help your crop, and you should get some in there, but it's not going to run the moths away.
Next question. Do I need to look for worms because I'm just now starting to plant? For the moth.
It wouldn't hurt. I mean, the worms that you're going to see out there now are probably going to be 2 inches long, if you see any right now. And they're about to pupate out and not be an issue for you. Those came at the tail end of the last moth one. Flight.
Yep.
So don't worry so much about them unless you have a lot of them. If you have a lot of them, go out there and either spray ahead or either ahead of the drill or behind the drill just to clean up the field. But if they're 2.5 to 3 inches long, don't worry about them. They're just about finished.
Okay. And I've noticed 3 different colors of moss this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've probably been that way every year. I've seen the gray, they're a little bit smaller, and then I've seen the white, and I've seen the yellow. Can you help me out identifying what's what?
Okay, so the yellow is the yellow-striped armyworm.
Okay.
Try not to get into a battle with him, because it will be very expensive. The other two is an armyworm and also a bollworm. And the bollworm is the same worm. In cotton, it's a bollworm. In corn, it's an earworm. In milo, it's a headworm.
It's the same.
But it's all the same cat, okay? They're easily controlled, and it's not very expensive to do so. But if you see the yellow-striped armyworm, you'll know him. He's got two yellow stripes down both sides of his on both sides. Try not to get into a battle with him because you will not win that.
And what do you mean you're not going to win?
He will throw the chemical off and keep going.
Really?
All you're going to do is make him angry.
So he's wearing armor.
Yeah. So don't if that's all you have out there, and you typically don't see those widespread. If they're in an isolated part of the field, leave them alone, because they're not going to do enough damage to pay for the chemistry anyway.
Okay.
And all you're going to do is make them angry. So the other two are easily killed, easily controlled. Don't worry about him.
I'll be darned. I learned something about that because I've seen some of those yellow-striped arming worms.
Yeah.
So you can't take like an asphalt roller out there in that one part of the field.
He may throw you in the bar ditch.
So, well, and I'm sure those arming worms feed my quail that I'm proud of.
Well, I don't know if the quail will eat them or not, but I mean, the chemistry that you would have to use is a $16 per acre shot.
It ain't worth it.
So it's not worth it. And they're going to be very isolated on that species of worms. The others are going to be widespread. They're going to be everywhere.
Right.
So.
Yeah, because the, let's see, when was it? Day before yesterday, I had to walk out and get a cow back up to the lot. It was about a little quarter mile hike down there to get her and come back. And I was going through some of that high native grass that I got, some of that buffalo grass mixed with some other crap in there. And it was early in the morning, and oh, Lord, was those little moths. They were mad I was moving them.
Yeah, and one thing I want to add to what I've said, if you're scouting for worms in your real young wheat or rye or whatever you got, try to check at midday where they'll be out when it's warmer.
Right.
They'll be out in the early mornings when it's cool. Flip over the dirt claws. They'll be burrowed up in the soil, keeping warm until the sun comes out.
I got you.
So just make it easy on yourself and check it midday to mid-afternoon.
So I'm seeing a lot of them in the bar ditches and in the grass and stuff. Do those moths at night go over there to that forage? Or
yeah, they're going to stay where it's warmer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. Question for you on the area of arming worms, no matter what type they are. Is there a certain part of the United States that they like, or is it everywhere?
It's everywhere. Well, maybe in the northern regions not, but in the southern plains, they're going to be everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, so we just have them, and that's just in a huge area. Texas, West Texas, eastern Oklahoma, it won't matter. Wherever there's forage is where they're going to be.
All right. What else you got on the agenda?
Just one other thing. I wanted to talk about hay supply and the lack thereof. So by now, everybody has made a decision whether they're procrastinating or not. Procrastinating is still making a decision to not do anything.
Yeah.
So by now, most everybody has gotten rid of their old cows, their open cows, and cows with bad attitudes. So now you're into your core herd, and you're trying to make a decision now whether you're going to bow your neck and feed, or you're going to have to liquidate. I don't think anybody really has all the hay they need. And I was thinking about this yesterday and this morning. Another alternative that might help, it won't be a total answer, but it might help, is use some type of a hay stretcher ration. If you're on a short wheat pasture, rye pasture, something like that, in combination with whatever grazing you have. It won't be the total answer, but it could help you get from here to next spring.
Okay.
If anybody has an interest in that, call me at the store. We can talk about it. You can tell me what kind of pasture you do have, if any at all, and we can build a ration to fit that, and then it's just a matter of cost. Is it cost efficient to do that or not?
Right.
So it's just another idea to be able to maybe get from here to there.
Well, I think if you're going to hang on to them, you're going to have to do something.
You're locked into having to feed.
Yeah, because I got rid of my alfalfa. Well, it was year number six for it, and so it's time to go. And I depended a lot on my alfalfa for my protein for the winter, because I fed either grass or rye or wheat hay, and then I'd throw a bale of alfalfa in there every now and then just so they had some good protein.
Right.
This year, I don't have no alfalfa.
Right.
And so I'm one of those that's thinking.
Well, I think everybody doesn't have the amount of hay that they normally would have. So this may be an option, and, you know, we can price it out and see if it works.
All right, question for you. So is the tree leaves covered in webs? Are they basically an army worm also?
Yes. Yeah, those would be, they're probably talking about in a pecan tree or black walnut tree or something like that. That's a web worm. It's a little different species, but same family. Yeah.
And then I've seen lots of monarch butterflies headed south here in the last couple of weeks.
Right, I have too.
They're the most beautiful bug out there.
Yeah, and they need to be able to eat milkweed.
Yes.
To be able to survive to get to Mexico.
Yep.
And back.
Yeah, they sure do. And I'm gonna start pushing everybody to. I mean, there's people out there that provide you with milkweed seed.
Absolutely, and you could put, you know, most everybody sprays their pastures and they have wiped out most of those native species. But, you know, you could leave a small pollinator strip in your pastures and just don't spray that little area. Yep. It doesn't have to be a big area, half acres, plenty.
Yeah.
And give those monarch butterflies a pathway to get to Mexico.
Well, Greg Hartman, since he did a couple deals over here with the OSU Extension office here at the Carnegie Library here a couple weeks ago, I need to get him back on there because I've been studying up a little more. Mm-hmm. I'm getting old, and used to we didn't have Google when you and I were in high school.
No, we didn't.
But there's a I didn't realize it took 3 cycles of butterflies to get from Mexico to wherever they go up north.
Well, see, I didn't know that either.
And that's why they need the milkweed, because that's where the butterflies lay their eggs. Mm-hmm. And when those eggs come to life, their food source is right there. On them.
Mm-hmm.
But it was 3 cycles. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
It was interesting. Mm-hmm. So, well, I need to finish up my last segment. Mr. Watkins, thanks for stopping in.
You bet.
It's always fun and interesting when you're here. And appreciate everybody texting in, asking the questions. And Ken will be back on here sometime next month. And anyway, if you got any questions, how do they get a hold of you to talk about rations and stuff?
You can call the office at 580-225-0317. Or you can call my cell phone at 405-370-9322.
All right. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech. Thanks for coming in, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Speech deprivation is like an accent. If you and your wife moved to Maine and lived there for 5 years and came back and visited everybody, you'd sound like a New Yorker, you know, someone from Boston, because the brain communicates like it hears. If you go long enough without the ability to separate M's and N's, S's and F's, T's and V's, B's and T's, you're going to get amplified garble until you relearn the differences. Phonetic regression is not a loss of intelligence. It's not a loss of ABCs. It's when the brain loses the ability to separate letters that sound alike. My name is Clint Higginbotham. I'm a certified hearing aid specialist with Caring Hearing Aid Services. Our Elk City location is inside Dr. Perkins' office at 601 West 3rd. The phone number is 821-2299. The Clinton location is about 50 feet north of Mazio's, 1906 Gary Boulevard. The phone number there is 275-2904. Try hearing better and try having more fun.
Simply put, Simon's Catch Restaurant in Elk City is Western Oklahoma's number one choice for delicious dining. Simon's Catch features all-you-can-eat farm-fresh catfish, family recipe shrimp, USDA choice steaks, and mouth-watering desserts, including cheesecake and brownie pie. Make dinner tonight simple. Simon's Catch Restaurant in Elk City. From I-40, exit 34, go 1.5 miles south and 1.5 miles west. Simon's Catch Restaurant open at 5, Wednesday through Saturday, and at noon on Sunday.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Howdy doody and a good afternoon to all the great stewards of the southwestern world. Drew Cobb in studio to go over your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 10th. 1,431 head were sold, 4 head of steers at 320 brought 220, 3 at 458 brought 171, 12 at 495 brought 160, 3 at 582 brought 162, 11 at 692 brought 145, 20 at 726 brought 172, 3 at 730 brought 133, 4 head of heifers at 348 brought 163, 5 at 488 brought 154, 3 at 553 brought 150, 8 at 579 brought 167, 4 at 805 brought 150, 5 at 893 brought 143, 3 at 1075 brought 126. Butcher cows were 10 to 80. Butcher bulls brought 70 to 102. Bred cows were 1050 to 1125. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, allergies have eaten me up alive today. I'm not picking my nose on Facebook. If you see me rubbing it, it's not picking. You don't see any. Anyway, I'm not picking my nose in case you're watching on Facebook. Anyway, currently 74 degrees at the Elk City Mezzanette. Wind southwest, 21 miles an hour with gusts up to 28 to 30 miles an hour. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Today, breezy, 79 degrees. Tonight, breezy, 56 degrees. Tomorrow, breezy, 77. And then the wind comes in. The wind's actually going to be out of the north tomorrow, but it's supposed to die down tomorrow evening. Sunny, 73 on Thursday. Friday, 78. And then Saturday, 84 degrees. Saturday, Aaron, you know what's happening Saturday? Tara's wedding. Tara is our beautiful lady, works here in the studio with us. She is getting married, and she rented a whole golf course to get married on. So anyway, she's going big this time. Wish her all the best, and actually I'll be there, so will Aaron. Anyway, we support our fellow employees. All right, we got all kinds of things going on. And thank you again for all the participation. I got one late text in, and Kent's already gone. I'll ask him next time he comes on the show here in about 3 weeks. He always tries to come on the first Wednesday of the month. Last week, he had a hot water heater somewhere. Anyway, got that going on. All right, let's check out some of the futures that I didn't do earlier in the show. Right now, on the grains, everything is in the red, but soybeans, corn is December 692, March 699, May $7 even. Soybeans for November is $13.75, January 1387, March 1397, May 1405. Soybean meal, October 41060, a short ton. December's 405 even, and January's 402.10. Soybean oil, October $68.92 a pound, December $65.19, and January $63.47. Hard red winter wheat is in the hole big time today. December $9.98 down 25, March is $9.95. Oats, actually in the green. December 394 bushel, March is 401. Let's check out what's going on with the cotton. December, 88 cents a pound. March, 86 cents a pound, up about 4 pennies today compared to yesterday. Live cattle, October 145.42, December 148.10, February 151.52, April 155.35, October 174.17 for feeder cattle, and feeder cattle for November 175.10. They're all in the green there, doing not too shabby. Hogs, they're in the red. October 92.95, December 79.15, and February 89. And that's what we got going there. What's happening with the looks like everything's kind of, well, S&P, the NASDAQ, they're all in the red. Oil's in the red. It's back down below $90 a barrel. And then we got natural gas just hanging in there anywhere from $6.50 to $7 for the last week. Well, let's see what's going on with the cash grain prices at the elevators in Texas and Oklahoma. Hard red winter wheat is $9.41, is down 34.4. Corn is 7.93, down about 5. Milo's down 5 at 7.28. And green in the green, $13.52 for soybeans. How about that? Anyway, hey, let's look at what Brandon Hickey sent me this morning from the Western Oklahoma and Oklahoma livestock market over there east of Clinton. There he is. Man, I got a lot of Texas this morning. All right, let's see what happened at Elk City. I know Drew read them off a while ago. Just see what was happening. It looks like basically everything's down $2 to $4 on steers and heifers, but butcher cows were not looking too bad. Anywhere up to $88. Bulls still down up to $99. Bred cows, $13.25 was a high end. And pairs were bringing anywhere from $1,200 to $1,650. And he had 2,772 head in there Friday. All right, so what I was asking him when I got the Western Oklahoma livestock auction, I asked him what happened. Did the rain inspire the market a little? And he said no. There was just an exceptionally large amount of big strings of weaned calves come in to the Western Oklahoma livestock market yesterday. So here you go. Some 390 pounders. Weaned brought 214. 475s, 191. 518. These are all weans that I'm reading off. 182.50. And here's the difference. 537 pound average weight brought a $1.61. 518 average brought a $182.50, and they were weaned. The other ones wasn't. So there you have it. He had some butcher cows over there yesterday, was bringing up to 80, and butcher bulls bringing up to 102, and bred cows anywhere from 10.15 to 11.25. So anyway, there's your answer on that. Also, they had a question yesterday or day before. No, it was yesterday because Sunday, day before was Sunday. Anyway, a question from one of the listeners was asking what has been checked in so far as deer concerned with archery season opening October 1st. And here I got you. This was as of opening day till morning this morning. Local counties, Beckham County has 28 deer. Checked in, Ellis County has 28 harvested, Harmon County has 19, Greer County looking pretty good, 37 so far have been harvested, Roger Mills 25, counties totals are ranging from 3 apiece in Cimarron and Texas County to 449 deer already harvested in Pittsburgh County. Total for the state so far, 7,455 deer have been harvested. He also wanted me to remind everybody that he's putting on a hunter's education class Thursday during the kids' fall break. Most kids are on fall break this week at the Cheyenne schools. So if you want to, your kid needs to go to Hunter Education before this weekend because it is Youth Weekend. Go to Go Outdoors OK and sign up. Go Outdoors OK to sign your kid up for Hunter's Education. How's that? Anyway, what else we got? Oh, it's almost over. Quickly, a lot of wheat is plunging mainly because in overnight trading in today because investors who were long on the market or bet on higher prices sold contracts and exited their positions after futures yesterday touched the highest in 3 months. So that's kind of what's happening. Don't take much to get off. Also, there's a bunch of ships in Turkey from Ukraine, 100 ships to be exact, waiting on to be inspected. So there's a lot of grain hitting the market right now. So anyway, you guys have a great day. Tomorrow, Cassandra Usher from the North Fork Conservation District is going to be on the show with me to talk about what's going on with some money that the governor signed in last week, and the Beckham County Board has met already, and we'll find out how many other boards have met to see what's going on in the rest of our listening area. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.
You've got it locked on Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle's home for today.